Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Plus $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
Wow, man. Fellow adventurers, turns out I left it idle for too long, and the game reset to the previous save point, you know, as it does. So now we're back at the check where you have to get past the Hall of the Dead up to the entrance to the place where the four boulders join up. So previously, we've seen elementalism. We've seen just climbing it. Now, so that narrows us down to three options. Once again, I shall be using random.org. Tell me what to do. Number three, so shadow magic. It succeeded. 24 experiences shadow magic. You summon your power of shadow magic. Several broad bands of shadow sliver away from the base of the boulders and rapidly weave themselves into a dense web of gloom that stretches to the top of the boulders. Wasting no time, you scamper up the makeshift ladder of shadow. Thank you, shadows! When you reach the top of the rocks, the shadows promptly melt away, leaving you alone atop the newfound perch. Your newfound perch, actually. Having safely reached the summit of the rock formation, and momentarily escaped the pressing tide of undead in the forest below, you promptly turn your attention to find the entrance to hidden tunnels. Yeah, and here as we get into the tunnels. Things are coming up behind me, and okay, now we're back where we left off. I'm in a east-west, I'm in some sort of east-west corridor, sort of in the middle of it, and there's some twisty things going on to the north, not sure how they twist, but I can see them. Okay, I'm going west first. Echo of your footfalls is the only sound you hear as you cautiously make your way through these dark, musty tunnels of this long hidden lair. Okay, going east instead. There was nothing to the west. Keep going east. A set of five bronze wheels protrudes from the north wall in this section of the tunnel. Without warning, the five wheels begin to spin rapidly. A high-pitched whine rises into the air. Examine the wheels. The wheels are spinning too fast for you to properly examine them. I guess I'm going to have to stop them spinning somehow. Because whatever they get set to will probably be important. As you move through this section of the corridor, a soft, sharp click suddenly echoes through the darkness. A mysterious sound swiftly fades, leaving you once again in silence. Walking, step. An engraved stone lever protrudes from the wall here. Engraved tacabats adorn the thick shaft of the sturdy lever. The lever is pushed up. Well, then push it down. You take hold of the stone lever and pull it down as far as it will allow. Suddenly, a low rumble fills the air as a massive slab of stone slides out from the wall, sealing off the passage to the south. Okay, that probably did something. If I can pull it up again. A low rumble fills the air as the massive slab of stone sealing off the passage to the south slides back into the wall. Pull it again, it's up. Not sure whether that's doing anything. An ornate stone lever protrudes from the wall here. Engraved tacobacks adorn the thick shaft of the sturdy lever. The lever is pushed up, pull it down. You take hold of the stone lever and pull it down as far as it will allow. Okay. That does something. I'm not sure what these levers do, but I'm just going to let them be for a bit. A large block of stone rests in the centre of this section of the tunnel. As you draw towards the massive block, it suddenly begins to shake and groan. You step back and instinctively draw yourself from a defensive stance as the stone square rapidly transforms itself into a hulking, two-legged being. Ah, that's the thing. Statues are so willing to attack me. They don't even have to be carved for them to do that anymore. They just, any old wok will just think, I could be a statue. Which means I have to fight Sir Croakington. Apparently. The towering being of stone, its smooth, featureless face seemingly staring down at you, defiantly folds its arms as positions itself to block the corridor to the west. Well, I gotta get past, because there's probably something there. Attempt to move past the stone being. As you attempt to move past the towering stone being, the faceless behemoth raises its massive block-shaped fist and takes a single thunderous step towards you. Hold your ground and engage the stone guardian. You boldly step forward and engage the towering stone behemoth. It's another 3+ thing. So apparently I'm supposed to fight it now. No. Your weapon is ineffective against this enemy. What if I use the power of Wave Touch? Oh, it's got a magic anti-magic aura as well. Okay. And flee. You're unable to attack because you're fleeing. The massive stone guardian swats you with its block-shaped fists. Flee from combat. You turn and swiftly retreat along the passage. Much to relief, the massive being of stone does not pursue you. Alright. Keep going. What about, there's that lever before, I'm going to pull it up. But now, can I get past it? I'm back to the stone being. Hold my ground. What if I flee away, mate? Flee away. You turn and retreat swiftly. Swiftly retreat along the passage. Much relief, massive being of stone does not pursue you. Alright, move past it. Engage it. Begin combat. Still, weapon is ineffective. And I've got the Black Tor amulet equipped, so... Okay, what if I pull this lever up and pull this lever down? Attempt to move past the stone being, stone guardian. Weapon is ineffective. You fled from combat. Right, pull the lever up. Attempt to move past it. Hold your ground, stone guardian. Maybe there's some sort of item I can use. No. Wand of Dragonfire. Oh, the Wand of Dragonfire does work. Okay, it's not something that's designed to be impassable, just annoying. A deafening roar fills the air as the powerful breath of fire explodes from the tip of your iron wand. Your enemy is consumed by the ravaging flames, taking 616 points of damage. Okay. Alright, okay. Wave Touch. Wave Touch again. Wave Touch again. Wave Touch again. There's probably something I can do to get Quickstone 20. No. So my weapon is ineffective. And I know I have a magical weapon equipped, so it's not that. Going. What have I just won? I won, and then I flee. And then I heal. The leave was pushed up. The leave was pushed up. Down. And down. Double down. Attempt to move past it. All right. Powerful surge of negative no energy washes over your foe for 8 damage. So specials do damage. And the ultra weapons do damage. So I'm just going to keep bashing until my special attacks knock it down. Or maybe not. But I can't heal because anti-magic aura. Well, that's not working. Fled. Right, pull the lever up. And heal a bit. Right, there must be some way past this, but there's only been 2 levers. All right. Oh, I know. Head back east. Pull the lever down. Let's go look. Look at those wheels. Maybe that's it. All right. A set of 5 bronze wheels protrudes from the north wall in this section of the tunnel. Smooth curved surface of each wheel displays an engraved symbol. Examine the engraved symbols. From left to right, you examine the symbol engraved on the smooth curved surface of the five wheels. The first leftmost wheel bears engraving of a skull. The second wheel is engraved with a skull. Third wheel carving depicts a moon. The fourth, eye. And the fifth, rightmost wheel, set slightly apart from the others, bears an engraving of a skull. So skull, moon, eye, skull. Now, since we've got skulls, eyes, and moons, it's going to be that iron plate of Dial's time. Because this is connected with Wackner's mind. Skull, moon, eye. Set the dials, go back. The fifth wheel, I'm assuming that's the first floor. Okay, I think that's it. Right, I should be able to get past the thingy now. Unless I've made a mistake. So to move past the stone being, hold your ground and engage. As you attempt to move past the towering stone being, the Phlacius Benimoth raises his massive block-shaped fist and takes a single, thunderous step towards you. Hold your ground and engage the stone guardian. Begin combat. Yes, it now takes damage, so I set the dials right. Keep going. It's a lot easier now it isn't invincible. It deals you a devastating blow for 27 damage, which doesn't really matter when I'm bashing it down. It is slain. 73 experience and 128 experience to general, with a sharp splintering sound that echoes along the entire length of the tunnel. The towering behemoth of stone collapses into a pile of rubble, thankful to survive the brutal melee. You spend a few moments checking over your gear before once again setting off along the passage. Now, I think even if I didn't figure out the puzzle, I could have just used the Wand of Dragonfire to cheese my way past it. But it would have to be lucky, or it will take several hours. So it's a lot easier if you, pay attention and solve the puzzles. It's like that. Was that Fang Island or the island where you're getting, where you were filling up the jar, where there was, where you could A, not solve the puzzle and have incredible difficulty, but it would be possible, or B, solve the puzzle and it'd be a lot easier. I think that's happened quite a few times. Where you don't have to solve the puzzle, but everything is much, much easier if you do. Okay, now here's another stone being. A large block of stone rests in the center of this section of the tunnel. As you draw towards the massive block, it suddenly begins to shake and groan. You step back and instinctively draw yourself into a defensive stance as the stone square rapidly transforms itself into a hulking, two-legged being, the towering being of stone, its smooth, featureless face seemingly staring down at you. Defiantly holds its arms and positions itself to block the corridor to the west. Attempt to move past the stone being. As you attempt to move past the towering stone being, the faceless Behemoth raises its massive block-shaped fist, takes a single thunderous step towards you. Give it a fight. You boldly step forward and engage the towering stone Behemoth. And this one's mortal too. Which is nice because sometimes you have to smash things. It's a lot easier to smash things when they're mortal. Another 73 experience and 128 experience to general. The sharp, splintering sound that echoes along the entire length of the tunnel. The towering behemoth of stone collapses into a pile of rubble. Thankful to have survived the brutal melee, you spend a few moments checking over your gear before once again setting off along the passage. Will there be a few more of these to go past? Perhaps, perhaps. All right, and yep, it's another one. It's described exactly the same as the first two, so I'll just skip over the description. Engage it and begin combat. Devastating blow for 26 damage as it swats me with its block-shaped fist, and I bonk it with my staff-shaped staff. It is slain. 73 experience, 128 to general. The enchantment of metal and the enchantment of death of devastation both helped one time each, which is nice. Thankful to have survived the brutal melee, you spend a few moments checking over your gear, once again setting off along the passage. Now, fortunately, with one exception, that being the glittering ice shield, you do not have weapon and armor durability be a thing in this game because usually it's just annoying. It's never, fixing it is never difficult enough that it actually, slows you down or change, make that makes you rethink your strategy as well. Except in the original first two Final Fantasy Legend games, in which case that's an absolute pig, and at the start you spend more of your gold, your gold replacing your weapons than you get from the monsters you fought doing it. You cautiously make your way through these dark, musty tunnels the long hidden lair, but the only exception being between our shield, as I probably mentioned before. Another stone being, fight it. Bash city bash 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 bash. Bonk it, bonk it, bonk it. It is slain. 73 experience, 128 experience to general. So that means we've already got 512 experience to general just from bashing these. It's pretty nice. And I mean, it all adds up. Here's the fifth one. Engage the Stone Guardian. Just going to quick combat that. I got into a battle rage during that fight. Stop coming to life and trying to kill me already. It stopped being interesting after the third one. All right. The passage just keeps snaking up and down while going to the west. Here's another stone being. It used to be a block of stone, but then it came to life and tried to kill me. As stones have this tendency to do around me. But usually someone has carved them first, but I guess they just put the Hate Sir Croakington enchantment on it and didn't bother with hiring a mason first. Or something like that. 73 experience, 128 experience to general. Okay. I think one last upload. This is, I think, the...
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
Last stone being. Engage it. Combat it, 73 experience, 128 experience to general. And heal myself a bit. Okay, and now we're looping right back down to the lower part. Just one. Oh, something's turned up. Directly to the south, crackling web of golden energy spans the corridor. The dazzling, steady glow of the energized mesh illuminates the entire section of the tunnel. You've no doubt that stepping into this formidable barrier could prove deadly. The sound of stone grating on stone from somewhere to the north reaches your ears. As quickly as it began, the sound fades to silence. Oh, let's head back north. Maybe that stone grating on stone means something. Oh, and it does. The ornate stone lever protrudes from the wall here. Engraved tacobats adorn the thick shaft of the sturdy lever. It certainly was not here the first time you passed through this section of the corridor. So, yeah, that did turn up. That was what the scraping was. It wasn't, I just missed it. Pull the lever down. You take hold of the stone lever and pull it down as far as it will allow. Okay, and that has blocked off this little L. This little L shape in the bottom right of the maze. It's just a one square gap between it and the western side of the western passage from where we entered. I suspect we may well end up filling that gap. Okay. Can I go past the barrier now? Attempt to step through the energy barrier. You instinctively wince as you boldly step into the crackling web of golden energy. Much to your profound relief, you pass right through the barrier and move into the passage beyond. Alright. Now what happens if the barrier isn't down? This might just kill me, but I have to find out. Attempt to pass through the energy barrier. The instant you step into the crackling web of energy, a powerful and deadly series of jolts tear through your body. Yeah, like that, but way more painful. 26 damage, singed and breathless, but thankful to be alive, you stagger back from the glowing barrier. Step into it again! That takes me 11 damage. That stopped being fun. Right, pull down that lever we pulled down. That isolates this area of the dungeon. But I can go past the barrier. I go past the barrier again. No getting shocked this time. And all right, I'm in the southwest corner. East one. It's the end of this area. You're standing at the eastern end of the passage. Emblazoned in black on the wall in front of you is a large symbol that seems to depict the upper third of a tacobat. As you step closer to the wall to examine the symbol, you're startled by a sudden breath of frigid air, shivering in response to the unexpected cold. You step back and continue to study the emblazoned mark. Okay. Alright, something I have to... particular item can be used here. I'm going to try the Black Tor amulet. Okay. Maybe Hammer of Icy Wrath? Yes. This is a mad area, so the mad items are useful again. 256 experience to general. You draw out the Hammer of Icy Wrath and level its broad, frost-covered head at the emblazoned symbol on the wall. Hammer trembles violently for several moments as a surge of energy shoots down its sturdy haft, passes along your arm and surges through your body. The rather unpleasant sensation leaves you reeling, and you're forced to lower the hammer and lean up against a wall to regain your bearings. When at last your head clears, you turn your eyes back to the wall at the end of the passage, and surprised to discover the emblazoned Takaback is gone. Moments later, your surprise turns to astonishment when you discover the missing symbol is now emblazoned on the palm of your left hand. Okay, well, that let me get deeper into the mad. Well, it's only a third of the symbol, so probably not, but maybe. Your heart nearly skips a beat as a bright silver light suddenly floods the passage. You quickly throw up your hands in an attempt to shield your eyes from the fierce glow. Seconds later, when the light has faded, you uncover your eyes. There, standing at the edge of the corridor, directly in front of you is the pale blue apparition of Ragnar, a ghostly image nearly identical to those you've encountered in exploration of the labyrinth now. Is this a live-streamed encounter with Ragnar, or is this a recording? The young bent mage, his face revealing not even a hint of motion, seems to look past you as he begins to speak in a low, steady voice. Yep, this is a recording. You realise that unlike the images of Ragnar you found in the maze, this one appears unable to recognise or see you. That makes sense. He probably doesn't really have a connection beyond the maze, so this is just something he's had to set up and hope it doesn't break. And presumably other people of the Headless Lady Cult can check on it every now and again to make sure it still works. You know, if they can even get in there. Because, I mean, it's a difficult place to get into, even when there isn't a gazillion undead in the way. It is as if you're looking upon an ancient illusion left here centuries ago, when the powerful mage concealed his secrets in these tunnels. You now have the first part of the key, he says. I will tell you where to find the other parts. But you will not yet be able to clearly see that which I am about to impart to you. Ragnar's apparition flares briefly, and a strange sensation washes over you. A jumbled stream of thoughts and blurred, rapidly changing images flood your mind, momentarily overwhelming your ability to think. Your sensation fades, and you find yourself unable to focus on the jumble of thoughts placed in your mind only seconds ago. You're able to make sense of it all when you're prepared to find the next part of the key, says Ragnar, his voice trailing away to a whisper. Look, it looks like he's planning on the final part of the map. Well, at least I assume it's the final part. I bloody well hope so. Because, I mean, who knows, maybe after all this, we'll do 10, 20 floors, and then there'll be another series of side quests we have to go to get even deeper. Nobody knows how deep Ragnar's map is. Well, except Ragnar, and maybe the GM. Possibly Woundskin, since he's kind of at the bottom of it by default. And that Nalislaw, that lady that I've talked to in the mad, in her mad, for my mad, she at least knows a minimum number of floors, and it's 56 or so. So it's a lot deeper than mine. His voice trailing to a whisper. A flash of silver light fills the passage, and once again you throw up your hands to shield your eyes from the dazzling glow. Moments later, when the light has faded, you uncover your eyes. There is no longer any sign of Ragnar's image. Without warning, the corridor begins to shake. You press yourself up against the wall in an effort to remain standing as the floor buckles beneath your feet. The wall ahead, the end of the passage, slowly slides down into the floor, revealing a new length of corridor that extends eastward into the gloom. And now to go east, back to the beginning. East, east, east to the east. Climb up and open the hatch. And then I guess got to get past all those undead. You scale the ladder and push up against the hatch. With a loud groan, the weighty dome creeps open, flooding the ancient tunnels with the dazzling light of the outside world. You immediately struck by what you perceive to be an eerie, absolute stillness. So they're just waiting, or they gone? You climb out through the open hatch and stand atop the towering stone formation, gazing down at the thick forest that covers the bottom of the dale. All throughout the surrounding wood, and strewn all along the base of the rocks upon which you're perched, are the tangled remains of countless undead. The limbs and torsos of ghouls, skeletons, and a variety of hideous rotten beings lie scattered across a wide swath of the ground. The entire legion of avenging undead. The very abominations that thrice drove you back to High Meadow have been slaughtered. Suddenly, movement off to the west catches your eyes. You snap your head in that direction, and your eyes immediately fall upon another menace. The very menace that just laid waste to the undead of Blacktor. Or if it can lay waste to that, I'm in trouble. Otwuk, you count at least 24 of the wood and iron beings marching silently and swiftly northward, filing through the undergrowth as they move towards a swirling black vortex. One by one, the Otwuk step into a magical gate and are swallowed by the portal's inky, churning core. In a matter of moments, they've all disappeared. Without a sound, the portal closes. In the wake of the Otwuk's departure, a strange and eerie silence descends upon the dale. For several minutes, you remain perched atop the four boulders, warily scanning the woods for any further sign of either Otwuk or undead. Or as far as you can see, in any direction, nothing stirs. For a long while, your eyes remain fixed on the spot where the Otwuk disappeared into the portal. It seems impossible that their arrival and timely engagement of your enemies was some random event. Your thoughts immediately turn to Coratel. Alright. I guess she helped. Could it be that the sorceress' sudden and unexplained departure from Blacktor is not as sinister as it first seemed? I guess she was getting some Otwuk ready. If Coratel is behind the Otwuk attack on the undead, why did she not reveal herself to you and probably get him ready and also carefully programming them so they only attack the undead and don't, you know, go a bit bananas and attack me as well. And then leave. Of course, it's very easy to make Otwuk fight. But it's very difficult to make them not fight. If Coratel is behind the Otwuk attack on the undead, why did she not reveal herself to you? Gradually, The unsettling silence gives way to the reassuring chatter of squirrels and the melodic songs of birds hidden high up in the branches of the forest's hardwood giants. Relatively certain no longer in any immediate danger here, you carefully climb down off the rock formation and begin making your way northwards, up and out of the vale. You climb up and out of the dale, pausing up on the lip of the tangled valley to take in the view spread out below you to the south. The density of brown and green, its contrast striking under the brilliance of the afternoon sun. Its lush roofs swaying gently at the direction of the wind, produces a calming, almost hypnotic effect. When at last you are able to tear your gaze away from the veil, you glance down at the thin symbol emblazoned on the palm of your left hand, the faint, barely discernible outline of the upper third of a tachyback, its wings spread wide, seems to stare back at you. As revealed to you by Wackner's image, the faint outline now adorning your hand is the first of three parts of the emblazoned key, a key that will unlock the lower reaches of the sorceress's legendary maze. As you make your way back to High Meadow, eager to discover what may await you in the village, you make several attempts to focus on the jumble of thoughts planted in your mind by Wackner. You know, indirectly by Wackner. He wasn't there in any way. Despite your best efforts, you're unable to make sense of what seems to be nothing more than a myriad of blurred, incomprehensible images. You're convinced that if you're ever able to make sense of the images, you'll know the location of the second part of the emblazoned key. The first of High Meadow's southern fields zooms into view ahead as you step onto a broad, stony track that leads north into the village. Your thoughts immediately turn to Emmett Haler. You hope that you will again meet with her, and the enigmatic young woman will have discovered a way to rid you of the curse of Black Tor, curse that you still sense is haunting your every step. Well, looks like they still have reserves of undead to get to, or they'll just knit together the ones that were already smashed. Because I mean, it's a pretty potent curse. It could do either, apparently. Apparently it's not the worst curse, though. Probably just die. That would be a pretty bad curse, but... I mean, yeah, it's just phoning it in, really. You just die. The curse of having cats be slightly too far away to pet them. Or... the curse of being turned into a toad. Oh, wait. Yeah, because that's already happened. This is a Quirkington. The curse of being turned into a different toad. Anyway, this is the end. This is the end of this adventure. You get 2,048 experience to general and 256 experience to all skills and powers, which is quite nice. Alright, another thing has been unlocked. Emblazoned Key Part 2, The Lady of Fallen Tree. These three men will guide you to the ruins of Fallen Tree, says Emmett Haler. There, in the sanctum of our most ancient shrine, you will find the deliverance you seek. You must make haste. The curse that afflicts you grows stronger with every day that passes. May soon be beyond our power to defeat it. All right, so in the next episode, we'll deal with that curse. And then after that, we can move on to finding the second part of the key. And then the third part of the key. And then, once we have all three parts of the key, we can finally go deeper into Wackner's Mad. But that... Well, that will be until next time. And until then, farewell, fellow adventurers. And save and ta-ta for now.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.